All right, brother Jeremy. You're live.
Hey, Dex.
Hey, good morning. Happy September 4th.
Amen.
Because it's September 4th.
It is.
So, let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the breath in our lungs this morning, Lord. Thank you for getting us up for this new day. Lord, I just thank you that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I thank you for the opportunity to come and serve you today. Every day we wake up, we get an opportunity to serve you and your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities and put people in our path so we will be able to serve today. I thank you for these men who get up every week and come to get more of you. Lord, we thank you for your word that refines us, that knocks off the edges. I thank you for these men who strengthen me every Wednesday morning. I don't know how I could do life without them. So we thank you for that opportunity. Lord, I pray that the words that will come out of my mouth would be straight from the Holy Spirit and not of my own. And I pray that we would leave here differently than the way that we came in. And we pray this all in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
So we are in the book of Acts, as you guys know.
I lost my glasses.
I'll figure it out. But I think I'll. Hey, Kobe, I left my glasses on the table. Did you see them? So we're at Acts 6. So I kind of want to go back to Acts 15 and finish that chapter up and kind of tie it in a bow, and then we'll move on to Acts 6. But you know, the key leaders of the early church agreed to meet in Jerusalem to resolve whether or not people should, in addition to expressing their faith in Jesus, also observe the Old Testament ceremonial customs such as circumcision, which is, it's a tough one. Men who were called Judaizers or Judaizers expected the Gentile believers, those who were not Jewish who came to the faith, to be circumcised and obey all the laws of Moses. But after much debate, the Jerusalem council decided that salvation is by grace through faith.
Amen.
And faith alone. Paul's letter to the Galatians further explains this doctrine. The clarification of salvation by grace through faith is Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, also led to the formal separation of Christianity from Judaism. So the Jews and the Christians at that point were all together, and all of the early Christians were all Jews, and they were following the laws of Moses or doing the best that they could, which we all know, the 603 laws of Moses, nobody could ever really reach, you know, because it showed you that you're a man and you can't get close to God because you are a man. But Jesus changed all that. He came and he said, you're saved because of my blood and what I did on the cross. And all you got to do is believe in me and you're saved by faith.
Amen.
And that's us. So thank God for that. So starting from Jerusalem, Paul took Silas, I don't know if you've ever read the whole book of Acts, to visit the churches in Galatia. And that's, we're going to get to the story in Acts 16 of where they met with young Timothy. So Timothy joined them in Lystra, and they went to Macedonia and then Achaia, which is present-day Greece. No? You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, because they're in my pocket.
I love it.
Where's my phone? Where's my phone? It's right here. Okay. So they went to Macedonia, Achaia, and on this journey, that's when the Philippian jailer was saved. We'll get to that. It's 41, and I'm going to try to read it. I might skip over some verses, but Paul, so Acts 16 starts, I'm an NIV. I'm an NIV guy, Joel. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek, so he was a Gentile. The believers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Can you imagine being an adult male who's never been circumcised, and you say, hey, you can join us, but I got to do something. He's like, what is that? I got to circumcise you. Dude, that's some faith. I don't care who you are. That's some faith. So they circumcised him, and as they traveled down from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders. So there's a group called the Jerusalem Council, And this is the early church, it's the apostles, or those who were alive, and the other early Christians, that they were basically, before the Catholic Church, were making decisions about Christianity and what it's going to be. So that's what they're talking about. So they're talking, they're going around all these different areas, talking about Jesus saved by grace, but also through the people of the Jerusalem Council with the rules and the regulations that they had to follow. So the churches were strengthened and faith grew daily in numbers. So Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region to Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Okay? When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen this vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach a gospel to him. So, here's a question. Are you guided by the Holy Spirit? I will tell you this, that I struggle sometimes discerning, is it the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or is it the voice of Jeremy? Or is it the voice of the world? Is it God? Or is it me? I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with that. It's like, what is God? What does the Holy Spirit want me to do? I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. For those who led by the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. So if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, I am directly in the will of God. How do I discern, is it me or is it God? I don't know about y'all, I struggle with that. Anybody else in here?
Yes. Absolutely.
Everybody should be raising their hand. Mm-hmm. That's okay. So, are you guided by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit actually forbade Paul to preach the gospel in Asia at the time. Neither did the Holy Spirit permit them to minister in Bithynia. And this tells us that it is not always somewhere or for us to go to someone to share the gospel. Now, the word says that go and spread the preach the gospel to all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that you have to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God says, you go. So I have a tendency to be a little bit squirrely, right? I got a little squirrely going on. So a lot of people tell me, stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane, right?
No oncoming traffic in your lane.
That's my lane. But this is what I tell people. I said, it's all my lane. This is all my lane, right? But it's not. So God tells me to go in this direction. And so if I'm in my lane, I am directly in the will of God. But when I go in Don's lane,
you'll crash.
That's right. So you have a ministry, and you have to go spread the gospel to in your lane, P. Joe. Everybody does. So what this is saying is I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Where is God sending me? And where is God sending you? Because those they may be different places. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay.
Makes sense.
Kind of, maybe?
Yes. Okay.
So the key to an effective ministry is to learn to do only the things that we see the Father doing. When we move out on our own initiative, which I have a tendency to do, you may experience closed doors. God shut the first two doors of ministry and called Paul through a vision in the night to go to Macedonia. So, I don't know about you guys, but I've experienced closed doors in my life. It's like, okay, God is telling me, I need to do this. I need to get into this business. I need to, and I'm telling you every time, boom, closed door, shut door. And that tells me that was not God's will for my life. I have a tendency to go off in front of God, and I've told you this before. This is what I'm doing. God, come on and bless it. Well, that's not how it works. What I should be like, Lord, lead me, and I'll follow you. And if it is your will, then I'm going to be blessed by it. A lot of times I run out ahead of myself. Anybody ever struggle with that? I don't know.
Today.
I don't know. So, So, once again, traveling east, the Holy Spirit forbade Paul and Silas and Timothy to go to Asia. Instead, they go to a port city in Troas where two important events occur. Paul has a vision of a man living across the sea, the Aegean Sea to Macedonia. And that's when Luke actually joins their group and they go. So let's keep going. Verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight through Samothrace. And next day, we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and a leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate in the river, and we were expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began speaking to a woman who had gathered there, one who was listening to a woman in the city, Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart and responded to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If they considered me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. So she was a believer. She invited them to their home. Acts 16, it says, 16:16, once when we were going to a place of prayer, we met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them in the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city in uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to practice. And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they were beaten and severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Let's stop there. So sometimes we got to take authority over the New Age and the occult. So the New Age is like, this is the age that we live in. It's the world. And the occult, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced any of that, but that's some scary stuff. I mean, it's just demonic from the word go. So a slave girl with a spirit of divination, which is an occult spirit or a demon, was bothering Paul. She's following him. She's doing it. She's telling the truth, but she's doing it in a mocking manner. So Paul did not give a long lecture outlining the difference between the occult worldview and the Christian one. He didn't do that. Instead, he took spiritual authority over the situation and commanded the demon to come out of her in the name of Jesus. They fought the battle in the unseen realm and avoided meaningless arguments. I'm going to tell y'all that there are some things in your lives that you're going to need to speak some spiritual authority over, whatever that is. I don't know what your situation is. God knows it and you know it. But sometimes we just got to speak authority in Jesus' name for your wife and for your business and for your children and for your friends and for your family. That I will tell you just that, you know, in my situation a long time ago when I was a raging alcoholic, you know, when I decided to give my life to the Lord and I got on my knees and I said, you know, take the desire to drink away from me, it was miraculously taken. It was gone. Somebody spoke authority over that. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I got on my knees and I knew enough to ask God to take it away, and he did. When I got depressed after that, I got clinically depressed. I could not hardly get out of bed. It was so bad. And so my wife called my aunt, who was a prayer warrior, and she came and she showed me in the Word where Jesus cast out demons and he healed the sick. And she said, you've got a demonic spirit of depression on you, and we're going to pray it off for you right now. And I didn't even know what she was talking about. But she did. She prayed over me, and she anointed me with oil, and she showed me in the Word. And she spoke authority over that situation because she had the authority in Christ. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know I could. But we do. We have that authority to speak over situations in our lives that you want to turn from bad to good and say, in Jesus' name, I command it to be healed. I command it to be cast out. We have that authority on this planet right now.
Amen.
And if you don't believe it, just try. There's got to be some situations in life where we have to speak authority over that situation. So I challenge you to do it. I encourage you to do it. Because there are situations that need it in our lives. So let's go ahead and keep going. Let's see.
24.
Yeah. Okay. So pagan Gentiles of that area may have been tolerant of another's religious beliefs, but not when those beliefs interfere with their business. We just talked about the business. So after the demon-possessed fortune girl harassed Paul's group for several days, he expels the demon. Realizing that their source of income is gone, the girl's owners accuse Paul and Silas of promoting the worship with an unauthorized deity. So I don't mind you, you know, worshiping whoever you want, but if it interferes with my business, we got a problem. And that's what happened. So the crowd attacks Paul and Silas, and the city leaders tear their clothes. You mentioned that the other day, why they tore their clothes. And the law enforcement beats the missionaries, and the jailer chains them in the prison cells in Acts. So in 24, we'll keep going. When they received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the other prisoner was listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up when he saw the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, This is the crux. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not only you, but your whole household. I've stood on this scripture a lot with my family, my children. You know, you get to a point where you bring your children up in the Lord, and then at some point they kind of depart for a little while and they're not seeking God the way that you seek God, and it's frustrating. And it hurts. It's painful. But I believe that my whole household has been saved because of my obedience. But you know, whenever they're under my spiritual covering and my spiritual authority, for a season. And then I told them, I said, when you turn about 12, 13, 14 years old, you need to start building your own relationship with God. Because at some point when you move out of my house, you're not under my authority anymore. But I believe and I stand on this, that one day my children will come back and they will not depart from it, right? You teach them the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll not depart from it. But I believe my whole household is saved, and so is yours, if you believe. So, we have to pray. We have to praise open the prison doors of our lives. Prayer and singing were such a way of life for Paul and Silas that even in difficult circumstances, they continued to respond from their hearts in praise to God. The relationship between their song of praise and their supernatural deliverance cannot be overlooked. Praise directed toward God can shake open prison doors. Today as well, praise will cause bondages and temptations to drop away. It's hard to sin when you're praising. It's hard to sin when you're in the Word. It's hard to sin when you're praying, right? So we have to have that attitude and that posture of praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. When temptations come and you want to look at something you're not supposed to look at, or you want to go somewhere you're not supposed to go, praise. So, we must learn to praise God even when things are not going our way and not going well. Not only for the purpose of deliverance, but because God is worthy of our praise regardless of our circumstance. Right? So, we go in seasons, right? We got seasons of good times and we got seasons of lack, and we got seasons of anxiety, but we still must praise in all of them. Because I can tell you from my experience, when I'm in the valley and I'm just not in a good place, that's when I learn peace, and that's when I learn patience, and that's when I learn joy. But I don't realize it until I'm out of it, and I look back, it's like, that's where I learned it. It was not on the high, on the mountain, it's in the valley. And I'm sure you've had experiences like that as well. That's where we learn. So, let's keep going. Okay, number 32. When they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in their house, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into a house and set a meal before them, and he's filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household, when it was daylight, the magistrate sent the officers to the jailer and ordered them, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered you and Silas to be released. Now you can leave, go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, oh, no. That's not going to happen. They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens. and they threw us into prison, and now they want us to get rid of us quietly? No, not gonna happen. Let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. So, you know, God demonstrates his way, you know, when the angel released Peter from the prison and told him to flee in the earthquake, the jailer was dumbstruck. He knew he would have been executed, but he tends to Paul and Silas' wounds and asks them how he can be saved and his household is saved. But the example shows that we should prepare for some type of persecution if you love Jesus. If you are a Jesus follower, just be prepared for that. But it's still proper to insist on our legal rights. When the city leaders asked Paul and Silas to leave quietly, they refused. They are Roman citizens, and the crowd, the magistrates, and the guards had no right to attack them. But Paul and Silas could have pressed charges, but they only demanded an official apology. So the city leaders comply and allow them to visit Lydia before politely requesting them to move on. And then they did and moved on to Philippi. But, you know, they'll face more opposition. And, you know, we'll face more opposition. Because the day, I don't remember your name, but, you know, Jesus is coming. And I believe Jesus is coming sooner rather than later. We got to be prepared. We got to be prepared. We got to be in the right posture. It's like I'm a born-again son of the living God. No matter what happens on this earth, in this world, you know, even no matter what happens in the world, God said he still protects his people, right? So our job is to go out and spread that good news to people who don't know that. I think what we do is have a tendency, we want to stay in our little groups, we want to stay in our little church, we want to stay in our little comfortable zone, rather than get out and tell other people about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know I struggle with that. But my point is that we have an opportunity here, gentlemen, to really show the love of Christ in our own lives to people who don't know it. You know, we have this outreach team, and we had this lady who, you know, we go help her move. She's just in a bad spot. I'm like, where are you going? She goes, I don't know where I'm going. We know we're going to bring her stuff to a storage unit, but where are you going after that? She goes, I really don't know where I'm going. I mean, I'm just so glad we could help somebody like that. You know, she didn't have anything. She had her belongings and didn't know where she was going. I don't know where she was spiritually. We prayed with her. We prayed for her. But that's showing the love of Christ, just by being the hands and feet of Jesus. So I would encourage you guys that when you have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, be obedient. Because a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to do that. It's the last thing I want to do. But you know what? God called me to do it. I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to do it even if there's a price and there's a cost. So, you know, Paul and his team, they're going to face more opposition and more success as they continue on their journey, and so will we. In Thessalonica, the Jewish leaders drive them out and chase them out to Berea. Paul flees to Athens, where he has a debate with Greek philosophers before meeting up with Silas and Timothy in Corinth. There he meets Priscilla and Aquila, and the expanded team sails again for Ephesus. He leaves Priscilla and Aquila, briefly meets at the local synagogue. And the bottom line is, guys, is that we have the opportunity to share the good news to anybody who will come into our presence and let them know that God loves you. He doesn't want anything from you, only the best for you. And all we have to do is submit and surrender to his grace and his love and his mercy. And I believe that, and I would encourage you to find opportunities to show that to those in your sphere of influence, and to those in your workplace. You know, there may be some people who are hurting. Everybody's hurting to some degree, some more than others. So let us go out and share the good news and be the hands and feet of Jesus today. Is that fair?
Amen.
You receive that?
Amen.
Okay, so Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. I just pray that you would just be with us today and let us go out and love others the way you love them and see others the way you see them, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to just bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, let us go out and be ambassadors and light in this dark world, and we can continue to just honor you by serving you. So we thank you for that. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Good job.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man.